Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle.
Welcome to another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch. Today, with my co-host, we've got the Lord of the Land, Lord Seth Vilo.
Verily, hello unto you.
And we've got the Tournament Maestro himself, Shark Finnegan.
Hello.
Welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, is where stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name where we talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. And I think we do have a lot to talk about, actually. I mean, first of all, Happy New Year to everybody.
Yay!
Woo-hoo! Happy New Year.
New Year, show drop, New Year, yay!
Yeah, I guess, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's New Year's Day that this comes out, right? So, I just, like, we're recording, like, so far in advance because it's the holidays, which makes things easier, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So if you sent us an email on Friday, sorry!
Yeah. Well, to be fair, we didn't have a show last week, so they've had 2 weeks to email.
Oh yeah, that's
they've
right.
had 2 weeks to email anyway. So we definitely have emails from that, so we'll be good to go. But yeah, sorry if you emailed us, you know, 2 weeks after the show came out or something like that. We are a bit early today, but yeah. I've been doing what have I been doing Pokemon wise? Not much. I've been updating our Patreon, or at least in my mind, I have been.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work to get that at least mentally laid out before you actually, you know, go and update everything, but...
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of, like, logistics prep work, if that makes sense, versus anything else, because, like, I don't know. The one thing I've learned about from, like, running Puckle, and this is very not just Pokemon related at all, is just that the logistics of things... One, I'm really into logistics. But two... I'm also, like, they are just such a big part of everything we do that people just don't realize. Like, if you just think about, like, the process we have laid out for recording the show, I always get amazed. I don't know why I'm a part of the subreddit anymore, but our podcasting is a subreddit you can go to if you, like, you're a podcaster and you want to learn things. I just think the problem is I'm so far past what a lot of the people on that subreddit are asking for or advice that they can actually provide. That I like, they just ask for like microphone recommendations every once in a while.
I use Audacity myself.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, Audacity is like one of the best free programs out there. There's really no reason to not use Audacity.
I found an uptick in quality when I moved from my little EarPod headset to an actual microphone.
Actually, yeah, that's actual things that are discussed.
Yeah.
These are actually things that are discussed.
When I changed from the microphone, I got in a box of Wheaties 12 years ago.
Yeah, right?
Oh,
I don't know. Like, I'm just so far past, like, what a lot of them are talking about. I also, like, find it really cute, like, when they talk about, like, their Patreons and stuff that, you know, have, like, two patrons or something. They're like, what should I give them, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, I wish this sub was useful to me.
Yeah. You gotta start somewhere, though, so it's...
Yeah,
Exactly.
So, like, I have imposter syndrome about my PhD, but I also have it about being a podcaster, I think, some days. Or most of my life, honestly. Cause, like,
Are
I
you
never...
sure you have imposter syndrome? Are you good enough to have imposter syndrome?
No.
That was my favorite divide by zero thought pattern.
Yeah, right? No, I definitely get it. And I'm just like, oh, there's always something I can learn, which I think is still a healthy mindset to have. But at the same time, I'm just always like, what are these guys doing that's better than me? And then, like, I'm always, like, abruptly hit in the face by the fact that, like, I know more than them. you know what I mean?
I mean, you do it. You've been doing this for how long? Like a decade and a half. Like,
I mean, I guess the anniversary was the day before the show came out.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
16. It'll be 16 years. Yeah.
Woohoo!
16
nice.
Years. Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, you absorb a couple of things here and there.
That's like half my life. I don't like that.
Quite literally.
Oh, it's gonna get. Yeah. Don't worry, it's only gonna get worse.
I know.
Yay!
Yay!
Oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mean to take up the intro for myself.
It's going to be a long intro. I already know it's going
to
be.
Well, Seth went to San Antonio, so I need to know what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have all that. Yeah.
I went to San Antonio. I met some of the folks there. I know Shamu and I were there, and we were hanging with Claude and Tank and folks like that. It was a grand old time. I had a blast just kind of being there with people. I got to watch people eat ketchup out of a spoon at IHOP and mix maple syrup with fried fish. I will not be doing either of those things, but I watched them happen. And yeah, it was a great time. Claude and I ended up going in with the exact same 60, which is something I haven't ever really done before. You and I came close, Thatch. We were very close.
We were on Gudra that time.
Like 57.
It was like 58 or 57. We were pretty close. I think we had like a mild disagreement, which is fine, because at the end of the day, I don't think that disagreement mattered.
No, I don't think it did either. But yeah, Claude and I went in with the exact same 60, and at the lunch break after round four, I was at 0-3, so that's no wins, one loss, three ties.
Woof.
So I wasn't feeling good. But Claude, though, he was, gosh, I forget his record at that point. I think it was like 3-0-1 or something like that. He was kicking butt.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, cool. So I'm not a bad deck builder. I'm just a bad pilot. Very good. Okay.
It's not even that. We talk about it all the time, Seth. Like, it's quite literally your matchup spread.
The loss that I hit up till that point was I was playing the Lost Box with Charizard and Moon and things like that. The thing I hit right before lunch was Urshifu and Inteleon, which is about as close to an auto loss as you can get with a Lost Zone deck with a bunch of little guys.
Mm-hmm.
That was rough. But
yeah, that one's pretty bad.
Honestly, it wasn't bad. And another cool thing about it, which might have contributed to the ties and all this stuff, I got to meet a lot of people who were brand new to the game.
Man, I think that's just something that's happening now, especially with how big the tournaments are. Man, the game is so big, which is one part of the reason I don't want to like dedicate my life to it, if that makes sense. Because one, there's a lot of people who are way more passionate than I am, and I want to move aside and like give them a shot, right? Granted, if I go to like a cup or a challenge and I win that, I have zero qualms because you should have been good enough to beat me.
Right. There were like 2,000.
I'm a local yokel. You should be able to beat me. Like, that's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there were, I think, like 1,970 Masters.
Yeah, this was one of the biggest tournaments. Yeah,
it was huge.
But yeah, I mean, you shouldn't feel too bad. Like,
oh no, I don't. It's fine.
Please don't. Because
I rebounded after lunch and I got like 3 wins in a row, so that helped.
Good. Yeah, because Azul won, right? But
yes, he did.
But like, if you look a couple regionals back, Azul just dropped from a tournament 0-3.
Yeah.
Not too long ago.
Exactly.
Like, the problem is these guys are doing like numbers on these tournaments and how many they're going to play in.
And it's all over the place. And it's fun and I enjoy it. And that's what's important. I got to play Pokemon a lot all day long. I got to hang out with awesome people. I got to go to that first sketchy Mexican restaurant that we went to that was actually pretty dang good. And then I got to look at a rainforest cafe. So
why would you go
complain.
To a rainforest cafe? You just,
wanted a cup and everyone...
No, okay.
Everyone just went with it, and they're like, okay, we're going to go get Seth a cup. And I was like, I'm going to go get one drink from the bar and the souvenir cup, and then I'll be happy. And they didn't even have souvenir cups at the bar.
Oh, no. So
we walked all the way down the river walk to the Rainforest Cafe at the end, and we're like, oh, well, crud.
To be fair, the San Antonio River Walk is beautiful.
It is, and it was all decked out for Christmas stuff.
Oh, yeah, I love the San Antonio River Walk.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I think San Antonio is like an underrated city to go to. I think it is.
It is. 100%
agree.
It's such a good place for the venue. And so many people were talking about that, how great this location was for venues. It's part of the reason the thing was huge. There were things to do around there, unlike some of the other places.
Yeah, San Antonio is a great town. I love San Antonio. Yeah.
people didn't have problems trying to find where they could get food at the lunch break. Like that, that wasn't a problem. That was easy. And yeah, we got to storm the Alamo, which was just right there.
Yep.
It was cool.
Yeah, it's all right there. It's good walking everything.
Yeah. No, yeah. Mm-hmm. San Antonio is very walkable and great.
Yeah.
What about you, Shark?
Yeah, that
what
was my...
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're... Go ahead.
It's Shark's turn.
Yeah.
Give Shark a moment in this song.
Exactly. I'm sorry.
Stop talking about yourself. You're such a narcissist, Seth.
I always cut into people. I can't stop. I just keep talking about myself. I can't help it.
Well, the big thing I did was I hosted the first Wi-Fi tournament on the Switch for Puckle.
Man, I saw that
this week.
We haven't had it in so long, and I was like, man, also the rules and how you did it in such a way that it encouraged more fun teams than just like meta-optimized teams, I thought was... I was so upset I couldn't participate. I was actually really upset. So we need to do it again so I can participate.
1000% agree. Just let me know when's a good time and I can try to coordinate it out.
We'll make it happen in January. It's going to happen in January.
Yeah, nice. For sure. Yeah, because I definitely think there was definitely some more interest, but a couple people just couldn't get teams in time or were just busy with life. But
it was just very quick. If I would have been at home that week, I probably would have been able to join. But unfortunately, since I was with family, I just wasn't... I wasn't going to be available during the time the tournament was taking place. And two... I didn't have enough time to get everything together, but I love the idea of just building a game in team again, or a team in game again. Wow, I said that backwards. And being able to play singles, like, it's great. Like, I know it's still like 40 minutes max, essentially, but I feel like 20 minute your time...
No, you can make the time length pretty long, like, real. Like, I set it up for 20 minute individual timers, 60 total.
Yeah, I feel like 20-minute individual timer is just enough, though. Like, that's plenty of time.
It really is. Yeah, like, most of the matches, I think the longest match may have still been about 20 minutes, but still, just having that extra wiggle room is pretty good. Mm-hmm. We did basically because there was just five of us who played, it was myself, Wreck-It Mike, Gigasaurus, Comics Pop, and then Patchlock.
Mm-hmm.
Since it was just the five of us, we're just like, I was like, oh, we'll just do round robin. And basically two of us at a time were playing. Well, one person was kind of just chilling or whatnot, but got everyone through and
that's a good time. No, I love that. I want to do it for TCG again too soon.
Yeah.
So I love doing Puckle League. Puckle League's my favorite.
Mm-hmm. But the teams are pretty good. There was like a lot, some good variety, and like, I definitely think there's some depth of further going into like creative teams. At least these are some like good base ones.
I like the idea of just encouraging creative teams. I think we should keep doing that. But that, I guess I think that's a discussion for off air. But
yeah, absolutely. Even Wreck-It Mike, which I know we all know, he's one of the bigger tournament grinders around here. He did build a pretty like he was going on the path of a very like fun team of just being four starters.
That's all I want.
Going to go all starters, but then he's like, I kind of want to use Archuladon, which that's fine. That's a fun new mon. You got to use it. And then he wanted to use Great Tusk because Great Tusk, you know, it's the same as Lando T. You slap it on a team. So, but like still the four starter team was really good. It was really fun to see like Primarina do a lot of work.
Yeah.
A Primarina did a lot of work, honestly. That's going to be a fun mon that came back in the DLC that. Like, a couple of us ran in, and it's just like, wow, this is fun.
That is slick.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I'm here for it. But, okay, well, we've gone on long enough in the new year. people aren't here to hear us talk about us playing Pokemon. Well, actually, they are, but...
Well, I was about to... What?
they're not here to listen to us talk about Pokemon. They want us to talk about anything else.
Trade routes going to Naboo.
The politics of the Intergalactic Empire. Or actually the Republic. But yes, we are going to go ahead and we're going to kick it on over, guys, to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
Welcome to the news. There's a few things to talk about. Wow, there's actually more to talk about because it's been 2 weeks. But for those of you listening now, I haven't watched it yet, but apparently it's out. Pokemon Concierge has made it out on Netflix. Yeah, I know. That weird claymation show that nobody really asked for.
But apparently is good. I've heard some chatter about it on Twitter, and it's like, this is the best show I never asked for. Like,
I believe that. Honestly, I could see this show being much better than we anticipate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I could
absolutely
see that.
I'm excited to watch
it.
I'll probably watch it soon.
Yeah. But, I mean, I said the things.
All right, I guess. And, and Scarlet and Violet news. First of all, I'm surprised it dropped this fast, but the epilogue chapter for the Indigo or for the DLC as a whole will be dropping January 11th.
Ooh.
At 8 a.m. Or I guess, standard Pokemon time, like 9 Eastern, et cetera.
Yeah. I was actually surprised when I heard that news as well, like the time, because that's insanely fast. You know what I mean?
I'm like, I thought there was going to be a long pause, but I guess they're just dropping it because
they got to get it in before February 27th.
I thought it was going to be the February 27th.
That's what I thought.
Honestly.
I thought it was going to be like, oh, hey, this is open today. You can go finish this up. But I wonder, they must have something to announce that they don't want to like ruin the hype for. Whatever that may be. And I mean, that makes sense. Like this last year was the DLC. This year's like the something else, right? And then, and then the year after that's going to be, oh, here's next gen. Because God forbid they slow down.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried with the pace that Pokemon is going at and how much they're putting out in terms of content that people start getting Pokemon fatigue, kind of like Marvel movie fatigue.
Yeah.
You know, granted, there's no like end game equivalent for Pokemon, but,
there's no end game in Pokemon.
What?
No, like, you know, Avengers Endgame, where they're just like, oh, this is what every movie's been leading up to, and then they end it, and they're just like...
Pokemon Battle Tower, finally, after all these years, I have them.
Yeah.
it's the mythical, all the Pokemon in one game, Sinnoh, or like, Kanto, Johto, Sinnoh, Hoenn, all in one region type thing. That's the endgame.
Everybody's here.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happened for, like, the 30th anniversary. You know, I could see that being a thing like, oh, everybody's here.
Look, we took it away so we could sell it back to you as a gimmick later.
I also don't know how they just haven't come up with the idea because they add like 250 Pokemon each time. They do a DLC pack, right? So we're up to like 750 Pokemon available in Scarlet and Violet right now. And that only leaves like another 250 on the table for like a DLC pack two. And then you're just done. And it's less work than doing an entire game. You could slow down your releases a little bit.
How dare you?
I'm a madman with my suggestions. I'm just saying it would be kind of nice.
Truly, you have lost all sense of accountability.
Yeah, I'm just saying it would be kind of nice, but we'll see, I guess. I don't think they're going to do it with Scarlet and Violet, or maybe ever, but I think it would be cool to see another DLC pack like this one. Like this. Honestly, we could save this for the topic, but I really enjoyed this DLC pack more so than the Sword and Shield DLC pack. So
I agree. It's not, definitely. I think overall, but yeah,
I think overall is
topic
better.
It. Yep.
Yeah. Overall is better. Oh, but, keep going. I apologize. I was just like,
good. So Regulation F for VGC has been announced. It will use basically all the Pokemon that are in the Blueberry decks. Except for Terapagos, as well as any of the new restricted Pokemon are not allowed. It's basically just kind of the, not the uber, like, everything is here one metagame, but it's like the one just below it. So it's basically kind of what we've been at.
Legends, basically.
Yeah, but we get Walking Wake, we get Iron Leaves, we get all the
you
new
get the
Paradoxes.
Rest of them? Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, you basically get everything except for, all the cover arts and all that, so.
Yeah,
that's nice.
It's mainly, like, all the boxes and then some of the, like, the mythical type things.
Yeah, those are the mythicals. Yeah, those guys, still not allowed, but you get that Walking Wake, Iron Leaves, and all the new paradoxes, so that's cool. There's some fun
there's
stuff
already,
you get in this DLC, so we'll be excited to see.
There's a lot of chatter already
out
of what's good, and a lot of people are liking... Raging Thunder, Raging What is it?
Oh, God, yes, the bolt?
Raging Bolt.
Yes, that Ryko. One. That's mm-hmm. Yeah, the Ryko paradox. That one is kind of played into what like a triangle rock paper scissors between Tornadus and Whimsicott.
Yeah,
I love that.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you could because the Raging Bolt can thunderclap Tornadus, which is the best Prankster Tailwind. But Tornadus destroys the Whimsicott because of its, you know, flying stab move.
Mm-hmm.
But then Whimsicott resists the thunderclap, and Moonblast back. So yeah, no, it's a great little rock paper scissors. And I think the one, but we do get Incineroar back. So
yeah. I'm gonna look at Peekalytics for this, see if it's on.
And Incineroar got Helping Hand.
Yeah, wow. There's a team that I saw pop up here that looks scary, like a potential like 6-man team.
They don't have the regulation F ladder
yet.
Yeah,
they don't. There was a big kind of fan ladder that happened that had a couple hundred people or something like in it, like 900 people or something that happened.
Oh, wow.
And so there's a little bit of data there right now. I've been just perusing teams.
I don't know that I really want that data, only because it's like only the people who are like super, super into it. And maybe to some extent that'll give us the best data, but I like having everybody have a general interest, because sometimes somebody will find something that's just really good that they didn't think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Pachirisu, you know?
Yeah.
All right. What else we got?
All right. And with the tournaments things coming up, Brewberry Prologue is happening January 12th through 14th. That's the Wi-Fi Blueberry decks.
Ooh,
only doubles,
exciting.
No bans.
Exciting.
So Terapagos is allowed in that little tournament. So have fun using Terapagos in the one format it'll be allowed in for a while.
Until like fall, when they just give up. And then we're just stuck in regulation. Here's legendary Pokemon all over.
Everybody
again.
Gets something. Yay.
Exactly. Yep. And then ongoing right now, we do have an outbreak event running through the third, which he'll have Dratini, Jingmo, and Duraludon with boosted odds for a joyful mark. This is important if you for the item printer in the DLC, because
these guys
give you the highest percentages on the materials.
Okay.
Specifically, Duraludon is the best of the three with like 50 something. But Dratini and Jingmo are like 45%. So,
this is great.
Just Chinese while you're at it. Just do this.
I'm into
it's
it.
Good.
You have to farm this. Okay. No,
it's worth farming because,
I mean, Delibird event.
Yes.
Like, the Delibird event that happened over Christmas, that was a great one
too. The amount this DLC just got me back into this game and how much I enjoy it is.
I'm like, actually playing for fun now. Like,
I'm doing things that I never did until now. And how much I've enjoyed them has been very good, and it's only because of this DLC I've done it.
I have a reason to pick up the game again.
Yeah,
and if you just really want to build teams on your own, literally grind this for like just grind one of these raids out, clear it out within like 20 minutes, take it all to the item printer, and you get like probably like 10 to 15 different pulls. So that means it gives you more chance to get the fun balls and everything just off of one clear raid. So I'm like, that's pretty good. So it's a good to grind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We got anything else up there in the game news? This has been actually really fat.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the fattest section of it. The only last thing, I don't know if it was mentioned. I think this may have been banned. I don't know when it was banned, whether it was like during the last recording or whatnot, but Terapagos was allowed in OU and then was banned within about 24 hours.
Yes, absolutely it was. It's got like a buff version of oh my gosh, what's it called?
Gigantamax?
Zygarde?
Zygarde, yeah. Like, this is...
Yeah, it's the Zygarde complete syndrome of it gets like 168 base HP.
Yeah.
When it terras. It's really hard to take down. Calm mind and coverage
it gets stab
for
on
days.
Everything.
Yeah, it's just got really good coverage. It has a pretty good stat line. Like,
I'm glad they tried it, and I'm glad they also quick banned it within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad it was attempted.
I would say if it was no Terra allowed, this thing would be totally OU, but yeah, the Terra on it just that bulk 160. It's like, yeah, no, a little too much. Totally Calm Mind Recover, I think it gets. I think it gets Recover.
I don't think it does. I think it has to rely on rest.
Oh,
but even then, it's still bulky enough to be able to do that.
Yeah, still. It's still got 160 with base 110s in defense, which that's just fat.
Mm-hmm.
It's fat enough. Got coverage, Rock Polish, and sweet. Rock Polish, Calm Mind, 2 attack was pretty popular, if I recall.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, we've got Go news, and Seth's got this.
Yep. Go is a game.
Yep.
Honestly, though, right now there's a Rowlet community day happening on January 6th. So if you haven't gotten your little bird guy, that's a good opportunity to do so. If you need a Tornadus or Landorus for, like VGC, I don't know, now that home exists and you can transfer from Go, you can get those two in raids because they'll be available in raids this month. So you can grab a genie that way.
Yay.
I don't know about Thundurus, but Tornadus and Landorus for sure.
Yeah, Thundurus too, but Thundurus is not VGC relevant at the moment.
Oh, yeah, 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 true.
Yeah, maybe on Rains, but like Torn's still much better.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the fun flying stab.
So we're slowly getting new cards revealed from the next set in Japan that comes out in January. That'll also be when their rotation hits. Ours doesn't hit till March, and we won't see these cards till March. But we've seen the first three Ace spec cards. For those of you who don't remember, that's the card, much like Radiance today, that you can only have one copy of any Ace spec at all in your deck. So you have to choose which one you want, and you can't use the others. So the first one is double Rainbow Energy for Stage 2 Pokemon specifically. It's very cool, very useful. Things like Gardevoir would love that, honestly, in a vacuum. Because, you know, for a stage twos, a rainbow double, awesome. There's also the return of Master Ball, which would mean that you can use old copies of the Ace Spec Master Ball. And what it is an item card. You just play it and search your deck for a Pokemon. That's it. No condition, no discard, no anything. Very good, again, in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. Problem is, no one's going to play those, or if I had to guess, any other Ace spec that will be revealed because of this third one.
Yeah.
This third one is switch a opponent's benched Pokemon to the active position and switch one of your benched Pokemon to the active position.
Gusting is just so good.
For those of you who remember, that is Guzma.
I do remember.
On an item. Yeah. Searchable by Arvin. Or other item search that you can do. Retrievable by things like Darkrai V-Star.
I'm all right. This translation
this
here. It
card.
Says you can play as many item cards as you want as well.
Well, correct. Okay. That's correct.
On top of all that?
Well, so I mean, that's just how item cards work. You can just play item cards.
Yeah.
Never mind. Okay.
But
I just want to make sure.
A-Spec, you're only allowed to have one of these in your deck. And you can't have any other A-Spec in your deck. Like, you couldn't play the Master Ball or this card.
You can't play Super Catcher or whatever it's called Master Ball.
You have to choose which one you play, which is a very obvious answer in my opinion. But
yeah,
I could see a ban for this card happening, like potentially, but it probably
absolutely won't.
Not. But
they will not ban anything in Standard unless it is egregiously overpowered.
Yeah, the last time they did that was Lysander's trump card. Yeah.
Pokemon in Standard does not ban cards unless it is ridiculously overpowered or puts your opponent easily into a position where they cannot play the game from turn one.
Yep. You are correct.
They do not ban cards.
Yep. You are correct. So they probably won't, but I don't know. I also wouldn't be surprised if one, there's just other things in the set we haven't seen yet.
Oh yeah, there's a couple that have already been revealed since this news was written.
Oh, not just like the Ace specs, but also I wouldn't be surprised if there's cards that like help block Gusting to some extent. Gusting's just been like very disgusting. Pun.
I don't.
In the game,
possible. We'll have to see.
I think as of late, Gusting has become way more powerful. In the past few years,
I would argue that the opposite of Gusting has become more powerful, where you don't even need to pull something to the active to pop it. Things like the recently revealed
the Raging Bolt.
Iron Crown, specifically.
Oh, yes.
that one has an attack that goes, that hits two Pokemon for 50 damage. And you're thinking, okay, cool. Manaphy blocks it. No, it doesn't, because its effect reads this effect, this damage is unaffected by any effects on any of your opponent's Pokemon. So it hits through Manaphy and Jirachi and anything else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's weird ways to grab things on the bench. But
I also wouldn't be surprised. There was a Spiritomb, I believe, like way back when, that also prevented you from playing Aspex as well.
Yes,
I see the equivalent of the Manaphy
coming back.
I see the equivalent of like the Manaphy of the Jirachi coming back, right? Where there's just like, here's a one of you playing your deck because you're scared of this card.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's what Spiritomb is now from you.
Yeah.
By collateral, it helps against things like control, but yeah, it's exactly. for Mew.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be it for the news, with exception of Puckle's pokey opinion. How long will it take for a Pokemon with the stellar type, Terra type, to top cut a regional? And I think it's until Terrapagos is allowed in the game, is allowed
when
in the meta.
When is, no, I think it's going to be,
you think so? I don't think Stellar Terra type is that good. I don't think it's that good.
It depends on the Pokemon. It is on two very specific Pokemon, I think.
Yep.
Which ones? I don't know if they can push through just because in doubles. I definitely think they're going to be more of an issue soon when singles, once they really kind of get the right team around them. But that would be Enamorous and Superior, because
what do they have in common, Shark? Yeah.
Contrary with the Stellar type, Stellar Terra and Terra Blast specifically, Terra Blast Stellar will drop both of your attack and special attack stats, which doesn't affect the contrary mons. So they basically get a neutrally, you know, always neutral, unless it's against a Terra mon, which is super effective.
Yep.
And just starts breaking through them.
For the first hit, I think, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Or is it always?
I think it's always... I think it'll always have the drop, it just doesn't get the 1.2x boost.
Oh, yeah.
After the first time you do it. Because it's technically a stellar type, and that stellar thing only looks like one per type stab.
Yeah.
Extra bonus.
I think it'll be more successful on Enamorous than it will Superior, if I'm taking OU for what it's used to. Grass is such a garbage... Grass and Normal are such garbage attacking types that are resisted by so many things, or just irrelevant, that Superior really struggles to actually take advantage of it. Meanwhile, Enamorous has the natural coverage to be able to go around that. Like, it'll throw a Terra Blast out, get its special attack boost, and then just use it as a plus one for Moon Blast, Draining Kiss, Earth Power.
Yeah, I think in singles, I agree, Enamorous is probably better, but I think the thing that Superior has that Enamorous doesn't is speed and bulk.
Fair enough.
Speed, the having 111 speed is much better than having the 106, and just the bulk that Superior is able to get off at least two hits and has better potential. So I definitely think in doubles, I think it's Superior who's going to make the splash. It's just a matter of when. I don't know if it's going to push it in Portland yet. I think it might be like, I think it's going to be probably like, probably in the next 2-3 tournaments. I don't think it'll be this first one. I don't know if Superior is going to get that team yet. I have not seen it.
Yeah.
I think there will be a niche. I just don't know where. I know Superior's just been a good doubles mon. So that's my take.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi. And welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an eighth point.
Welcome to Poke Quiz. Thank you for that introduction. I am excited because we could have a rare double win here today if they get at least 6 points, because I think Seth is two away and Shark is about six. So these two can reset the ladder and have a double win, and then everybody's at zero. Nobody gets to carry any points over.
Yay! New year, new point system.
That would be the first time in a long time.
Yes. So new year, new ladder, I guess. Though Liger, the trivia master, has decided that we are going to put you through the ringer.
What color is Pikachu? the answer is several.
So we've got a lot of questions. They might not be easy. So you know the rules. We're going to jump right in. Our first question is going to be from Pokestin. They ask, across all the Paradox Pokemon, what is the only type not used by any of the Paradox Pokemon? Terrestrialization and Stellar type do not count, obviously.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to pin Normal I think about it, because Normal is the first thing that comes to my head. Because you definitely have Fire, Water, Grass, you have Electric, you have Psychic.
Dragon, of course.
Psychic, Poison, Fighting, Dragon, Dark,
Ground.
Bug.
What's a poison one? Do we have a poison one?
Iron Moth,
yeah. There's the steel, there's the water, there's the dragon. Do we have a ghost Terra?
That's Flutter.
Miss Magius, yeah. Dark Flying is the Jugulus.
Yeah, I think it has to be Normal. I think everything else is there.
Rock is Boulder.
And Iron Thorns.
And Jigglypuff is not.
Jigglypuff is Psychic Fairy.
Yeah, I always get that confused when I look at it.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's Normal. I think it is. Is there an ice?
Bundle.
On. Yep, okay. Yep, I think
Bundle's
it's Normal.
Ice. Yep.
Or Moth. Wait, Bug.
Slitherwing is Bug.
Yep, Bug Fighting. Yeah, Normal.
Normal is correct for all the reasons you stated. So you guys are one for one. Your next question comes to you from Umbreon1080. In Pokemon Legends Arceus, only one ride Pokemon is female. Which one is it?
Ain't it Sneasler?
I'm
pretty sure it's Sneasler. Almost positive.
Okay, let me think. Because the other ride Pokemon are Braviary? Because
Train Dude references it as her.
Okay. Cause I believe... Because it's Ursaluna, Weirdeer, Sneasler, Bascule Legion, and
What's his name? Train Dude specifically uses a her pronoun on her.
Okay, I'll trust you on remembering that, because I think that's the only one that I could think of that has such a obvious gender difference that you can actually confirm as well.
That's true too. Hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, because Sneasler
I remember
the
dialogue,
is the only one that
but not
does.
The physical thing I watched climb.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I haven't paid attention, but, you know, I would believe that the Sneasler... I mean, if there's going to be one, you could definitely say it's Sneasler.
Yeah. Lock in. What do we get?
That is correct. It is Sneasler.
Yeah.
You guys are two for two. That means Seth, I believe, crosses the finish line, not Shark yet,
Hang
though.
On. We're not there yet. We got to keep going.
We just have to get six.
Your next question is your Pokedex entry question. This one comes from Shiny Mewtwo Curie. Its Pokemon Shield entry reads, highly intelligent, but also very lazy. It keeps enemies out of its territory by laying traps everywhere. Who's that Pokemon?
Ooh. Shield, specifically. Laying traps. Intelligent and lazy in Shield. That's a hard one. What's something that's like trappy? It's not that. My stupid thought was like Galarian Stunfisk. No, it doesn't lay trap. It is a trap.
I'm trying to think. What could be a thing I like intelligent and lazy?
Is there like a lazy dark type that feels very dark type? What's the panda? That isn't Urshifu, but people made it.
Pangoro?
Like, budget. Yeah. I don't think it's that, because that talks about how it's a gangster, but I get that energy from this Dex read. Yeah.
Man, I can't.
We have Urshifu at home.
I'm just blanking, because I can't. Because, yeah, I'm like. Otherwise, I think of like a bug type, but I can't think of a good bug type.
An intelligent, lazy bug type is not one that jumps to mind in my head. I don't know.
Yeah, just trying to think of something that's like sits and waits.
I'm going to need an answer here.
Do we want to go with Pangoro and then
we
figure it out
that
if we
can
do deck entry number two?
I think so. I think so.
YOLO.
Pangoro is incorrect. So deck entry number two, here we come. This one is going to be from Pokemon Scarlet. And it reads, it extends its long, slimy tongue at blinding speeds and finishes off prey with great skill.
What? Is it Kecleon?
Kecleon isn't in Scarlet and Violet. I mean, long tongue, you got either Greninja line, you've got Inteleon line.
I don't think, is Greninja in there? Did the new things get dex entries?
Yeah, they did. They're in the blueberry decks.
Yeah.
But I don't...
It's kind of... Oh, well, no, in the...
Highly intelligent, lazy. It's definitely not Greninja itself.
Yeah, that doesn't feel... That feels ninja-y with, like, the traps and stuff.
I don't think Frog... It's definitely not the babies. It's not the baby lines.
Yeah.
It could be Inteleon. Well, Inteleon would be gun.
That's not tongue. Yeah.
But it could be... It could be
anything
could
else.
Be
froggy, like Politoed,
Frogadier, Drizzile. I don't
Does
think
Politoed
it's...
do that. Politoed's intelligent. It's got a rock on its head.
I think the Poly line is a little different. I would think it could be like it could be Politoed. I'm gonna bank it's not Politoed.
Okay, fair enough.
I'd rather because Frogadier's more about Frogadier has the bubbles.
Yeah, the bubble scarf or whatever.
Yeah, I think it might be more Inteleon. Inteleon or Drizzile.
Drizzile? Drizzile, maybe, I could see. Inteleon's gonna be, I'm a secret agent, I go on...
Well, I mean, that's the other, because I can't think of any other good frog Pokemon that...
Yeah.
Because that would be it, that's like long tongue, like...
Someone is
I can see those guys, those like frog
right
lizardy guys, so...
I'll let you pick the frog, I have no idea.
Let's do Drizzile. I don't feel good about the Frogadier.
yeah.
Drizzile is correct.
What?
Yeah, it's Drizzile. What? Yeah, yeah.
Shady dealings, what?
Yeah. That's Drizzile for you. So that gives you 3 for 3. Your next question is your multiple answer question. There are 7 answers here. I need 2 for 1 point, 4 for 2 points, and all 7 for 3.
Okay.
All right, this is from G. McPee. What 7 special moves make contact with the target?
Ooh, Grass Knot, I know that.
Grass
you have to
knot,
lock them
kiss.
And you get 3 strikes, obviously. So,
ooh,
lock
draining
those
kiss,
two
yeah.
in.
Grass Knot and Draining Kiss are both correct.
Okay, those are the
okay.
two. Those are the obvious
now
ones.
Now we're stuck.
Right. You got 1 point.
Hey, that's 4. We have the hint is needed. Because we could hint this and almost get there.
Yeah.
Or get there, actually.
Does Psycho Boost make contact?
That doesn't scream like a move that would make contact.
I imagine, in my head, I know it's probably wrong, I always imagine Deoxys just like slamming itself psychically against something even though it's special.
Golly, this is going to be dumb, but I'm going to say, I want to suggest Side Shell Armor. Or I think arm.
Side shell
it?
Arm?
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you a strike, and I'm not going to count it. Because it changes between a physical move that makes contact,
it makes contact
and a special
when it's
move
physical.
When it does not make contact, when it's a special move.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, okay.
Okay, cool.
I just wanted to confirm. Okay.
That's right, what I was about to say once you got through the sentence, too. It's like, I don't think it does it when it's but yeah, okay.
I know it doesn't when it's special, but it's like technically a special move. So that's
right,
where I was
right.
like, by that condition...
I'm just trying
actually,
to think of things like,
about
what
a
do I not want to
move?
Hit?
Sacred Sword?
Sacred Sword is incorrect. That's your first
special.
Strike.
That's
that is your first strike. Or did you not want to lock it in?
Sword.
But
I was trying to think if that was the right, if that's the right special sword move.
Sacred Sword is physical. Secret Sword is special.
Okay, the one that was the special one. Yeah, the Secret Sword.
Keldeo's thing.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to go for, because I think one of the swords was physical, one special. I want the special one that deals physical, like,
deals to defense like Psyshock.
Yeah, Psyshock sword.
So yeah, secret sword. If secret sword's that move, then that's the one I wanted.
Yeah, let's do secret sword, and we're kind of already...
For one strike, you're wrong. At one strike, you're wrong.
Okay,
that's one strike. Okay,
now cool. I feel like we should use the hint.
Yeah, yep. Probably.
God, how do I hint this? Yeah. One of them is a move that was introduced in Generation 9 and is on one Pokemon.
Oh, great. This is good.
Only one Pokemon introduced in Generation 9.
Okay.
Another one is a grass-type move that's on a lot of grass-type Pokemon.
And isn't Grass Knot?
One of these we talked about earlier today with Lysander. Another one of them is, I don't even know.
Trump
this.
Card?
Yeah, that's correct, yes.
Okay.
That's three.
Would not have gotten that. Okay.
Man, I'm going to have to look up the moves to give you a hint.
okay, another special grass move that makes contact. Here,
one is a bug type move. I'll read the trivia section for you.
Infestation. Infestation.
Oh, that's
so.
That is correct. Yeah, that's four. So that's 2 points. And then, so you're missing the grass type move that like everybody has. And then now I have to look at the next one.
Is it absorb? No.
No.
What do we would not want to hit a Ferrothorn with for like two reasons? Cause it double resists it and cause you'll get spiky.
I don't think anybody's ever wanted to hit a Ferrothorn with this. I will tell you that. Oh, this one doesn't even have trivia. That's cool. This is a normal type move. This is a normal type move that has varying power outputs. Also is not available in Generation 8 onwards. It was cold. Why is this on
secret
here?
Secret power.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Secret
I think
power.
The,
I think it's. Well, wait, is that physical?
Yes, yeah, I think that's incorrect.
Is that physical or special? I'm trying to think if that's the...
Yeah, think it... That's another one that's weird and changes.
I know it's not natural gift, is physical.
No. I gave you everything. Yeah. A grass type move, you got the trump card. The one that's the normal type move. That
power,
got cold.
But isn't in Gen 8 on.
Yeah. And then you got infestation, and then there's the one that's a Gen 9 electric type move that got added.
Is it the tadbulb thing? Electromorphosis. It's not the move, but that's the ability. But does it?
What a parabolic move.
It is electric type move, right? Let me double check.
Parabolic charge is gen.
No,
like
that's
7.
Not an exclusive. I don't know if that Pokemon gets the signature move. I don't think.
Let me look at it. It is a signature move. It is, and it is electric type. I am correct.
Okay, what are signature electric type moves?
What's
the tadbulb line get?
Oh,
electrodrift is correct. Yeah. Is correct. Yeah. Yep. So you're missing the grass type move, and you're missing the
that like every grass.
So
type
a grass type move that isn't grass knot that makes contact.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
like every grass type gets,
and that normal type move that got called with weird mechanics and nobody ever used.
Weird mechanics.
Was it a TM? Was it a TM? I don't think it was a TM. Oh, it was nope. It was not a TM. I lied.
Not a TM. Normal type move.
Introduced in Generation 4.
Gen 4 move.
This one I don't expect anybody to remember that this was a move. Because I don't think anybody ever used it. Also, I don't think any of the Pokemon that learn it are actually like available at any point in the game.
Synchro Noise is psychic.
Beforehand.
It's not that one.
But yeah, it's a weird move.
I hate it.
Begins with a W.
W.
Yeah.
Ring out. Ring out is it's ring out. It's ring out. It's ring out.
Because it's not the metal one.
It's ring out. Yeah.
They just added the new the steel type one.
Yeah.
It's ring out.
It's ring out. It's correct. And then you're not just missing the grass type move that like every Pokemon learns. I think one of the Pokemon that gets it is Venusaur, and I believe it's the evolution move for Venusaur as well.
No.
Not like when you know the movie that learns when it evolves.
Right.
From Ivysaur into Venusaur.
Pen Petal Dance, well, I think more.
That's a good one.
Because it's not...
Not like every grass gets it. That's still kind of weirdly... Well, does it now?
A lot of grass types get it.
A lot of grass types get petal dance, because that's like the grass outrage.
Yeah. I'm
trying to think if any other grass
all the grass types that matter get it, if that makes sense.
That's true. It's really the big attack. Because what? Even like, yeah, I'll just go petal dance because I can't think of, because all I can think of are vine moves.
Petal dance is correct.
Oh my god.
That's all seven. Hey, so you're at 6-4. Shark crosses the finish line.
Woo!
Now, guys, just go ahead and slam dunk on everybody by getting this fifth question. There's no motivation for you to get this question correct, but...
Other than starting the year with a point, maybe.
No, I'm not going to give you guys a point. Nope.
No carryover.
He's going to take the easy way out. He's going to make it you clean slate.
Yep. All right, this one is going to be from Liger, the trivia master himself. Fully evolved Pokemon introduced in Generation 9 has the lowest base stat total?
Ooh.
Fully evolved, lowest base stat
is
total
it saying
Gen 9.
Specifically, is it saying which of the Pokemon introduced in Gen 9 has the lowest stat total at its final stage?
Yes. No, fully evolved. So,
or is it saying this fully evolved Pokemon, which happens to have been introduced in Gen 9, also has the lowest base stat total?
It says evolved Pokemon introduced in Gen 9 has the lowest base stat total. That is what I have right now.
I'm just going to put a pin in that. I think you're going to go at Terapagos at the really base form is what you're trying to go for. I don't think he's there.
That's not what we're going for. That's not what we're going for.
Yeah. Yeah, because that would be the lowest, technically. It's when it comes out. It does come out in its base form, but...
That's true. Okay.
Yeah, so you want fully evolved. Let's think. Fully evolved, because you've got...
Which could be either, you know, is basic and doesn't ever evolve and hasn't, or is in its last stage.
Does Palafin without...
That's a pretty low base stat total.
It does have a... Does it actually gain anything? I think it gains like a little.
I don't know if it gains anything. Not much. Maybe just a tiny bit. But I think the whole gimmick is that that's still a Finizen.
Yeah, that's why I'm it could be that.
I think it might be. What is it? Like, what's the form name? Do you remember?
Zero form. It's called Zero form.
Zero. Zero to Hero. Yeah, that's right. So, like, Zero Palafin's a good one.
Because what? Because it could be Oink alone.
It's got 100 speed. That's like it.
Oink alone as a thing.
I'm trying to think of little wimpy guys.
Terrible.
In Gen 9.
Cloth, but I don't know if that counts. Because that's just itself.
Yeah,
that's
a single stage counts. Single stages count.
Single stage would count. Okay, so cloth could count.
It would be, yeah.
Okay. Oh, so it could count some like random one stage little baby.
We're not
guy.
Counting Terapagos, but we are counting that.
Right.
Mouse hole. Oh, Squawkabilly.
That's pretty low.
Terrible. Terrible defenses, at least.
Terrible everything. Terrible appearance. Terrible.
Great
hair.
Card. Great card.
Great card. Terrible
it's
everything.
It's the terrible bugs. Is it terrible?
Spidops.
Oh, Spidops. It could just be Spidops. Because Spidus is just bad.
But it's got a move pool, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Even its card's bad, it should feel bad.
Even its card is bad.
The card art is cool.
That?
But that's it.
Yeah. Spidops is a good one.
It's either Spidops. I'd say either Spidops, Squawkabilly, or Zero Palafin.
I think Spidops, because it's a Route 1 bug. Those tend to be crummy.
Yeah. And I think Alcalone has at least some bulk. And so
has
some
it's got a decent HP
too.
At least.
Exactly. So let's just say Spidops.
Spidops.
Spidops is correct.
Yeah.
its base stat total is 404.
Wow.
For
Error.
Reference,
could not find base stats.
For reference for how weak that is for everybody at home, Charjabug has a base stat total of 400. Charjabug.
What?
Yeah. Next up in line of
what
Pokemon that have low base stat abilities or base stat totals introduced in Generation 9, Squawkabilly was number 2 on that list with 417.
Nice.
Wug Trio with 425.
Ah, yeah.
And then Clodsire with 430.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fair.
All the right places.
Oh, Terrapagos base form is 450. So that's even higher than all these guys.
All right. Well, you guys reset the ladder. You got the first double win in, I think, forever. I don't know if it ever happened before, but you guys got a double win. The ladder resets hard to zero for everybody after this week, so good luck to everybody.
Happy New Year, suckers.
Yeah, good luck to everybody trying to get to 40 again. You know what's worse is, like, I think there are about six of you guys that were all, like, within shooting distance. Yeah. So,
oh, yeah, no, we've been pretty good about all of us being on the show. And yeah. So, yeah.
Got real close there. Yeah.
All right. Well, tune in next week for more Puckle's Pokey Quiz. Until then, though, guys, we're going to kick on over to our topic.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We have another review. This one is going to be from SpartanTHX117. 5 stars, longtime listener. The first time I've ever written a review for a podcast. I first started listening to your podcast when driving to meet my girlfriend on the weekends when neither of us had to work. Since then, we've moved in together and become engaged. The both of us have been playing Pokemon since we were kids, and we have both listened to your podcast when traveling or working around the house together. We may not score too well on the quiz part, but we always enjoy the topics and conversation between the host and guests. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, thank you for that, and congrats on the engagement. If you would like your review read on the show, leave one, and it might be read. Until then, guys, we're going to kick it on over to the topic. Welcome to our topic. Today, our topic is going to be the DLC Indigo Disc full review. We get to talk about everything in the Indigo Disc, everything we enjoyed. Spoilers beware. Last week we definitely talked about a lot of it, or not last week, but 2 weeks ago we definitely talked a lot about it, but I hadn't finished it yet. I know a lot of the other people on the show hadn't either, and I don't know that my opinion has changed much other than I've experienced it more and I enjoyed it even more.
Yeah
since I finished it. It's been a blast, actually. I was not this excited after Teal Mask, and I am so excited to play Pokemon post Indigo Disc. I just can't explain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it is just, like, sparked joy in me that I have not felt in a Pokemon game in a very long time. I'm not saying, like, I don't enjoy Pokemon games, but, like, this one has just been, like, yeah, let's get back into it. Let's play competitive again. Let's do this. Let's do that, you know? Let's go shiny hunt. Let's build a team in-game. Let's have a good time, you know?
Yeah.
I've been reinvigorated by this, and I don't think I felt this way during Crown Tundra. Crown Tundra also upset me for a couple of reasons. Like, I think the story in Crown Tundra was really good with Calyrex.
Yeah, I think that was fine. I think the story here is maybe marginally worse.
It's similar to the main game in that they really want it to be semi-open-ended. I don't think the story is great. Like, there's a couple downsides I have, and I guess we could segue to that quickly. Like, my biggest downside is Scarlet and Violet did a lot of firsts for Pokemon, where they had, like, a better story that was, like, way more involved than a typical Pokemon story, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In building up Area Zero, and then we kind of got they pulled like the same old Pokemon thing when it came to lore, where they're just like, we don't really give you an answer about what the Paradox Pokemon are.
It turns out that it actually is a time machine this whole time. Congratulations, all your theories are wrong.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
It's just speculation though, because the professor's like, maybe that's what this is. I don't know. So like, it's just like, oh, well, we just got another answer for, like, maybe this is what it is, but we don't know. I mean, the answer that the professor gives is that it's a Pokemon from the past or the future, but a different timeline, which is fine.
Yeah, it goes into the whole Pokemon multiverse thing. So maybe this is before Hoenn launched the meteor at itself in Oras.
It could just be different with things in general. Everybody's doing a multiverse. I still take it as Pokemon giving their soft, like, non-committal answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which that's what it feels like, because I feel like the professor's so wound up in the time machine concept anyway that they're thinking that when they see, you know, Koridon, like, oh, it's just an ancient Pokemon, maybe from a different timeline.
One thing that I found interesting that was pointed out on Twitter is that the name of your motorcycle.
Yes. Yes.
We gave it to them and broke the time loop with that, in a sense, because we got the name from Arvin, who got the name in turn from his parent, who we saw at the lake, who called it Iron Serpent.
Yeah, the Winged King, yeah.
Not Koridon or Maridon. So we somehow broke time, and it's like, oh yeah, we call it this, as opposed to Agias or whatever.
I do think there's, a chance that that professor could be, if we want to believe the multiverse concept, that professor could be like a multiverse version of the professor, right? Not the same exact one.
I mean, in a sense, it is.
I also like the theory that your character didn't summon the professor. I believe this isn't a theory, but it's actually true. Your character didn't summon the professor to meet them after their death, because your character doesn't really have a reason to do that. You're not Arvin.
No, Koridon and Maridon did. They popped out and did that.
They popped out and were just like, I want to see them again.
Yeah, because I walked up to the lake when I was doing it. I was just walking on my feet, and then
they pop out, yeah.
My Maridon popped out specifically, and then it did the thing. So yeah, it was Maridon that summoned that. So it is Maridon's professor.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
But the fact that he called it Iron Serpent in, you know, in Violet, not, we call it Maridon.
Yeah.
Is this the Iron Serpent? Did we pull one over? Like, what? What do you mean? Did you pull one over?
You could time loop it, which is fine. I don't really care about worrying about that too much.
Where did it get his name? Where did we come up with Maridon? And the fact that what's her face called my Maridon Agias, because that's what it says.
That one I find the most interesting of everything, by the way, is when Amaris calls it Agias all the time.
Yeah, like, Linnean pointed that out to me. He's like, okay, we now have canonical evidence that the names of Pokemon come from the noises they make.
Yeah.
It's not the noises they make are their name. Like, we now have that canonically established.
Yeah, I think it's very funny. I think that's interesting. I don't know. It's just a cool thing to put in there, but also, I don't know. I feel very frustrated by the non-committal answer the Pokemon Company gave us after they gave us such a commitment of a story. You know what I mean?
And it's like, okay, we found Terapagos, and here he is. He's a turtle. You got him.
I also still don't really understand the eyes and the crown thing, but that's okay. I was kind of hoping for more of an answer there.
Yeah. Is he all places? Is he omniscient? We don't know.
You know what part, like, really gets me is, like, in the DLC trailers, they kept showing that crystal tree.
And it's not even the thing.
Doesn't do anything. The tree does nothing.
It's not. It's just one of the rooms.
It does nothing.
And that was specifically for everyone who says that Pokemon can't do trees.
I think it was, though.
That's the...
Why is it there? I want to know.
Do I have to go back to the tree in the epilogue? What is going on?
I know. I want to know what this tree is for.
I thought that I accidentally stumbled into the area where Terapagos is going to walk out and be like, bah, 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 I'm here to see you. And no, it was just a tree. And then Kieran yells at me and it's just like, oh, okay, so this was nothing. There's a Garganical here. Fine. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that one's a letdown too. I don't know. What are you guys thinking? We don't know. I like the jokes that it's Xerneas, because Xerneas and Yveltal aren't back in this game.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I like the joke.
Epilogue 2, Electric Boogaloo.
I would be down. I don't know. Xerneas and Yveltal not being there also makes me go, oh, man, is it happening? Or is this happening?
I really hope that they just skip a Gen 5 remake and make it Gen 6, and that is Xerneas. That would be nice. I would appreciate that. I don't want to go back to Unova.
So, like, the last time I can think of something like this happening...
Unova's awful.
Granted, this is one data point, right? It was... So, in Generation 8, when we got the DLC, we got all of the fossil Pokemon back, except for Bastiodon and Rampardos.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got followed up by Sinnoh remakes and all that other stuff. And so, Xerneas and Yveltal are missing now. The only problem I have with that is if...
And Zygarde is too, right?
Zygarde is also missing, yeah.
Interesting.
None of the Gen 6 legendaries.
Yeah, Gen 6 isn't in there at all. It's just a very weird... I don't know. Usually when they give us the legendaries, they give us all the legendaries, and I just find this very odd.
Oh, it's no Tapus, no Ultras.
Okay, Tapus I can understand, but, like, I'm talking box art legends, right? Like, box art legends usually all come back, but one,
you can't have Tapu Koko come back. Like, this game, Tapu Koko can't come back.
Yeah, it's the same as the... It's just underneath Shedinja coming back.
Well, the difference between Maraidon and Koko is that Maraidon's are restricted, right? And so in VGC, you can't have, like, Koko could come back now if it was in the game. And it would just be like, oh, well, game over, brothers.
Koko's not a box, yeah.
And, like, Koko, like, they would have to like, nerf Koko somehow. And I mean, they're obviously not going to do that because Electric Surge already is on Pincurchin.
No, see, by leaving Alola, it loses some of its power, so it becomes electric. It becomes a Surge Surfer. Oops.
Whoopsie doodle. It's the only Tapu that does it. No, what they need to do is give them all hidden abilities and make it get stuck with its hidden ability.
Ha.
Somehow. But yeah, no, it's, I mean, Shedinja coming back in this game also doesn't work, so.
Yeah, those are like the two that, like, yeah, I would say can't work in this game, but, you know, it's fine.
I mean, I guess you could definitely make these Pokemon come back, but you have to add, like, a special restriction to them, right? Like, you can't change, Shedinja can't change Tera-type for reasons.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not unprecedented. Like, what's its face? Smeargle can't use Dark Void. Smeargle can't even copy, what was it, Shed Tail?
I forget what it was. There's some move
that it can't. No, it's Revival Blessing. It can't copy Revival Blessing with Sketch.
I mean, also in general, like, Dark Void got nerfed anyway.
Yeah, that's the only reason Dark Rise OU and can stay there is because it's just a special attacking beat stick. It's not a 90% accurate sleep move beat stick.
Exactly. But yeah, there's just like random box art legends missing like that, which make me go, oh man,
yeah.
You know, maybe Kalos is coming. Second DLC with Kalos.
That's what that top right corner of the map is going
to
be.
Yeah, I like that Joe Merrick tried to fly there, by the way. Just to, like, prove everybody wrong.
It's still really dumb. Why is it there at all?
I did try to fly around. You can definitely fly. There is a, like, a top to...
Yeah, there's a top.
To the base map. I flew up there. I flew as high as I could. And then I get a loading screen. And then I'm back at the bottom. I'm like, damn. I tried to fly up out of the map. But I can't. I tried. But you can go up to the top of the terrarium.
Yes, and get a couple of good items.
Or at least up to about 30 feet, I would say, roughly distance from, like, the very, very, very top. But you can definitely get on top of that ball.
Yes, you can get on top of the ball with a bunch of items.
Go to top of the ball. Do it. It's got stuff up there. So what did y'all think of the synchronization feature? I'm really curious.
I haven't used it a ton. I also just, like, it's just, like, I, when they announced it, and I still feel the same way, it's not a me thing that I care about.
Okay.
Like, it feels like Pokemon, following Pokemon. I, for one, enjoyed it in Heart Gold Soul Silver because I thought it was done, you know, very cute, right? In the pixels, like, oh, this is a very cute idea, right?
Uh-huh.
But, like, modern Pokemon following you, I feel like is tedious and annoying because they gave them all various walk speeds. Which some of them are just slow and can't follow me, and I find that annoying.
Well, yeah, I'm not necessarily talking about the follow. I'm talking about the sync specifically, where you jump into its body.
No. I'm giving you a comparison for how I feel because I don't care about following Pokemon in modern Pokemon games. So I don't care.
I think it's funny just to see the things that people can create with it. It's kind of like, you know, Tears of the Kingdom, where you can do all the, like, the funny things with the Koroks and whatnot. People were having fun using the being synchronized as the Pokemon and doing things specifically like Pride Rock or, you know, like going on there.
I saw one this morning on Twitter
posting like Sonic music over being Sandslash.
It's very good for memes. I do think that
it's great for memes, and I think it's fun. It's funny if you can trick your friends to think there's a shiny Pokemon.
That is the only instance in which I will use it is if I'm playing in, like, with my wife and she's shiny hunting. I will change into the shiny Pokemon she is searching for and just go mess with her.
I saw someone recreate the silver and gold intro bit.
I did see that too.
With the Ho-Oh flying. That was really cool.
Ooh, that's fun.
I thought going into this that we saw the feature, we saw it. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, you can do this. You can do any Pokemon, blah, blah, blah. It's not that just the Pikachus. I was going in thinking this is going to be the stupidest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
And completely useless. But I actually really love it and use it all the time for good reason. it is the fastest way to do the auto battles. And if you're farming for just items and materials, get into a Pokemon and just go around. And instead of having to run around and direct where the thing's going all the time, like you do in auto battles, where you have to keep hitting the right thing. So you target this. No, you just run around and just collide with the Pokemon, knock it out, and keep going. That's how I got through the Delibird raids, and I would burn through those things in a matter of minutes, and I have a million Delibird materials.
The downside to that is you can't catch a shiny if you see it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I still stay relatively close by.
Yeah, I think if you shiny hunt that Pokemon first, then you don't, and then you focus it.
And then what you do, what I did is I cleared the Delibird raid and I saw there was one that was a shiny. So I was like, okay, cool. I will leave that one alone and go jump back to my real body and then engage it in a battle afterwards. But
just be careful.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah, and I did, and I gave it a wide berth. But it's this feature that I did not realize would be so useful for that specifically. And I really like the stupid feature. It's really fun, both for memes.
Yeah, I think if you pick the right Pokemon like Deoxyspeed, Vikavolt, a few Pokemon like that, I think are great for doing that.
I definitely agree with what your thought was at the beginning there, Thatch, when we talked about it. With it, this feels like a test. This feels like a new feature test. And I could see this replacing something stupid like an HM in something.
Mm.
And you just jump into a strong Pokemon and move the rock instead of teaching it strength or something like that. That or just walking around your Pokemon. Could you imagine the, what is it that was in Gen 5? The, or was it 5, 4? Whatever, the athletics Pokemon thing. Could you imagine doing like a running course as a Ponyta?
Oh, you're talking about like Pokeathlon?
Yeah, imagine doing Pokeathlon as the Pokemon.
Oh, I think this is something that's very possible in another game.
Yeah, this feels like a new feature test for sure.
This is the equivalent of, you remember in Gen 7 when they had all those walking animations for the Pokemon, but we never got to see them?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think they just made all the animations and just gave us the ability to access them at this point. Like, I think that's literally what the point is right now.
Even then, Giratina altered form gallops when you go in run mode. Like, they put a lot of thought into how these Pokemon locomote.
Oh, I believe it.
There's something here. There is a reason for this, and I hope it's a feature.
I just hope they continue to use these models. Like, the models themselves
yeah,
just look really good. And I feel like I've said this before for sure, but like seeing a lot of fan favorites come back and see the models for them is just like, wow, this has done really well, especially the legendaries like Lugia and Ho-Oh for sure. Like, that's a glow up. Just seeing that kind of stuff, I really, really enjoy seeing. I mean, this DLC, like I said, has just like reignited a lot of passion. Just, I mean, a lot of Pokemon came back that I cared about, especially in Scarlet and Violet compared to Sword and Shield. I really enjoyed it. I also really enjoyed that, like, Blueberry Academy itself was such a direct callback to Unova as well. Like, it's definitely a love letter to some extent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's also, like, you know, mild hints that it's actually the nature preserve.
Yeah.
In Black and White 2. Because there is a section of it that is the exact same map.
Yeah, and there's even, like, the shiny Garchomp.
And there's a Haxorus right there. Yeah, that's a Terra Haxorus.
Yeah, the Stellar Haxorus. Yep, Terra Haxorus, which is almost a shiny.
They put that there. So I'm like, okay, this is just, you know, then they also put in the Charge Cavern, not the Charge Cave, Chargestone Cavern.
Chargestone Cavern, yeah.
Not Chargestone Cave, but Chargestone Cavern.
Honestly, like, riding past those things on Miraidon with the electric going is just the coolest thing ever.
I thought that was pretty wild. And then, yeah, I just think it's they did such a good job. I also just really like having an area that's just like, here's a bunch of reasons to have a bunch of random Pokemon. And they all fit thematically. And I go, yep, I'm here with this, you know? Give me a terrarium in every single Pokemon game from here on out. Like, give me Pokemon Zoo. That's what I want. I also don't think we should ever have a Pokemon game that doesn't have all the starters again. Just gonna tell you that now, Game Freak. That shouldn't have happened.
I don't think we should have a Pokemon game that doesn't have all the Pokemon again.
Well, that's not, I'm sorry, Seth. To be fair, like, I understand, like, logistically, Dexit, it just doesn't feel good, you know?
Stupid. All of it's stupid. Very dumb.
It doesn't feel good. Logistically, I understand.
Blah.
But it does feel real bad when they're missing, like,
100 Pokemon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm also really upset at this point that they did like a terrarium with an excuse to have all of these Pokemon in it, but we're still missing some from like being available on the Switch.
We have a nature preserve with Pokemon that are hard to find, except you don't get all of them. Haha.
Except Furfur's missing. Those monkeys that nobody really wants are missing. Panzap, here we come.
Bother.
And then, you know, and then Patrat, of all things, is missing.
Patrat. Yeah.
And you know, I actually really enjoyed how they tried to pad the decks here as well. I think this is really what they're trying to do with regional variants anyway, by making the regional variants have their own dex entry when you catch them.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's kind of smart to at least make it take a little more effort.
I like that as well, because part of me wants to collect all the variants anyway. And one, it forces me to. Two, it's a good way to just give me a bigger dex and make me feel satisfied. And I enjoy it. So keep it going, I guess. The only regional variant that's not available, though, I believe now because of this, on a Switch console, is Alolan Rattata, unless you include Let's Go.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm kind of hoping that Alolan Rattata comes back to some extent. I also don't really like the way they did it, Alolan variants in Switch, so I kind of hope the Pokemon, like Marowak, you know, we can get some way to do it. I am kind of bummed they didn't take the extra effort so that when you, like, evolved the execute in Coastal Region, you got Alolan Exeggutor. You're finding them anyway. They should just do it over in that corner. And then you could bring a Pikachu over there and you could evolve it into a Alolan Raichu, right? Like,
exactly.
Wouldn't that be a cute idea? You know, it's just the same thing as the Ultra Wormholes. I wish they would do that. I wish they would do that. I really do. There's just like a few minor nitpicks Pokemon. Just give me like the 20-some Pokemon that are missing, please. Just like, why are they still missing? Why? It's not even 20. I think it's quite literally like, I think it's like 9. I think literally 9 Pokemon are missing from Switch games. Granted, Pokemon X and Y Remake would fix that. A Pokemon X and Y Remake would fix that, and I'm kind of into them skipping Gen 5 just because I don't know that they know how to handle it, in all honesty.
I don't want it.
That's fair.
It's not that you don't want it, but I feel like, I mean, there's plenty of people that do want it. I just feel like a lot of, also, man, you know how old I'll feel if there's an X and Y Remake?
That's true.
Pokemon X and Y is what, like, really rebooted my love for this podcast.
Yeah.
And, like, made modern Puckle. And then we're just going to be like, hey, Thatch, you remember that game that, like, really really inspired you to make your podcast that you're still doing? We remade it because it's that old.
You're welcome. Yep.
And then I walk around with a crutch, you know? It's so sad. When is October 13th this year? In 2024? I believe that's when it came out, October 12th or October 13th. Ah, nope, that's Saturday or Sunday. I was just like, man, maybe they could make a joke about how this was the first Pokemon game to come out worldwide and just put it out on the old release date. You know, as like a, that would be hilarious. But we all know it's going to be the Thanksgiving whatever game. So I think that's the 22nd this year. 22nd. That's when the next Pokemon game comes out, guys. Calling it right now, November 24th or November 22nd, 2024. Calling it now. It'll be a Pokemon game on that day. what a bold guess on my part. What a bold guess. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed this DLC.
How'd you enjoy the battlings?
Because
they upped them up.
I loved it, because if you didn't go in there with a strategy, you were kind of, you needed to go in there with at least a strategy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You could go in there with an EV like trained team and stuff like that and maybe do okay. I think you needed the strategy, which I loved. And I love that, one, there were double battles as well, which is great. I think double battles are so complex and not enough games force you to do them, especially in high stakes situations like this one. I really also enjoy their team compositions because they always had like one Pokemon that just wasn't that type. And it was just like, yeah, you're going to have a hard time. And even then, a lot of the Pokemon that were the type were really rough. Like they were rough.
Yeah. Like I will say because I had been using like the, whatchamacallit, because I had like a pretty like decently solid like team that I was that I did EV train and made specifically to do the DLC. But then it's like Drayton makes his little challenge of catch the Pokemon in the wild. I'm like, okay, I'll go ahead and do that. And then I go ahead and EV train them. I half EV train them and whatnot. I was like, I'll go into this. I'll use this team because I was like, I want to use this Empoleon Infernape lead that I had. Like, I want to try to use a pledge. I think it'd be funny. And then Ligon Earthquake just bops both of them like, oh god. I'm like, nope, That was too cheeky. That's not gonna work. I almost won that off of Artuladon, but it was basically an Artuladon that was like on low health by the time I had to face the other one. So I couldn't heal. I couldn't heal enough, and that thing with Terra Dragon, Dragon Pulse still bops it. You know, my Artuladon. So, but still, it was.
Yeah, they just got me. Like the Grand Bull, with Fire Punch and Stomping Tantrum. Just to hit anything that might be super effective against fairies.
It was really cool how much thought they put into what people would bring.
Yeah, it was a lot of thought. It was a lot. I used to think, like, way back in the day, I used to be very naive. And I used to think the Pokemon company didn't really understand the competitive metas they were making.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, I'm just like, no, that's, they only understand what competitive metas they're making. You look at Urshifu. You look at, like, those battles. They know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%. Like, what? Even Kieran running this, like, rain lead that's just disgusting with...
Yeah.
Like, oh, gosh. And then into Grimmsnarl, into Incineroar with Fake Outs. Like, oh, yeah, no, this is a doubles team here.
Yeah, it was... I love those battles. Those battles are very good. I am very happy with that part of the game. Oh, my gosh. I'm just so happy with that part of the game. The game itself was just good. I enjoy it. I love being able to talk to the gym leaders and get more lore out of them, and other characters as well. I don't know. This was just really good. I think the last thing we should talk about is the gacha machine.
I'm so happy I have something to do with all my stuff.
It's so good. I love it.
Yes, it is the best thing because it's so easy to get those rare balls again. It's like, well,
it's easier. I wouldn't say it's so easy, but it's definitely easier than the Cram-O-Matic. Like, oh my God.
Oh yeah. I've got like spare master balls now. Like I legitimately just threw one because I was just frustrated and I just wanted to complete a group quest. I was like, just stupid catch this dang thing and we can move on with my life. I did. It was just like, I was chucking ultra balls. Like, all right, no, I'm tired. I've got 7 master balls. I'll use one. It's fine. Which by the way, do get come on the Discord, ask in the Trades and Raids channel if you want to hang with groups, because that'll help you get the BP to then be able to just freely spam, you know, focus on raids and whatnot, so, or outbreaks, because so. Yeah, it is so much faster to do it together, for real, and you need it for legendaries, but also it's faster together.
I couldn't believe how fast it was. Because I was doing it alone, and then I was, because my wife was playing as well, but she was going a little bit more casually, and I was on vacation. So eventually she got to the point, and I'm just like, oh, let's do it together. And we did it together, and it was just like, I thought it would be like maybe a times two accelerator, right? Like we're both doing it. It was way more than times two. It was insanely fast.
Yeah, it's like a times two, but then a little bit more, because it's like...
It's like a times like 2.2 or something like that. It was just so fast.
Because the fact is that because you get more overlap, and that's the biggest thing, is that when you get the overlap of things, it's just like, it snowballs perfectly, because you can literally just have one person just auto battle, one person sneak and catch and Terra defeat Pokemon. It's like, oh, there's 3 of them at once. Or like, yeah, there's a thing of catch of dark type, catch of, you know, a dragon type. Well, okay, find a dark dragon. Boom, catch 2.
And being able to like verbally say that in a voice chat type situation where, okay, I've got this one. So you don't have 2 people working on the same one. I think y'all mentioned that. But that was what Shamu and I did for these barbecue things. And yeah, we got to like 12,000 in a day.
It's so easy.
Not even a long day. It's just so easy. Yeah.
It's so easy.
Even then, it's just like, if you just kind of have a general flow, not even just talking, we just like occasional communication if you're having issues with like the Ditto. The Ditto's the hardest part.
Yeah.
The Ditto's the hard one if you have that group task. But as long as you don't have that, you could really go with like minimal communication because it's pretty straightforward to figure things out, you know? And just like the fact that, yeah, you're doing things and all of a sudden you overlap and you just get notification, 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 notification.
It was just so fast. It's just so fast. It's so fast. It's insane to me how fast it is.
Mm-hmm.
I love and hate that feature, if that makes sense. Like, I hate that it's so fast with people. I do also dislike that you have to play with people to be able to get like a lot of the legendaries.
But at the same time, it's the same thing as like having the old version exclusives before you can even connect. At least you can be able to get them in your own game.
You are correct. You are correct about that.
It sucks, but it's like, it's still a thing. But that's just the way the game is, and, you know? I mean, we still can't get, you know, I can't get, you know, Iron Boulder or Iron Crown in my game. But, you know, I was at least able to go with friends and catch the other Paradox Pokemon in their thing. So, at least I have that.
Are the other Regis still unavailable in this game?
Oh, yeah, I forgot the Regis are not our only home.
They're in through Hall, though. Okay, thank God. I also still hate how, I said this last week, I still hate this, that they fixed Hisuian Quillfish's evolution and then fixed none of the other Hisuian evolutions. You do not understand how frustrated, like the fact that they changed it with this DLC and then it's just, they're just like, Kleavor's in a Dex in an area that's surrounded by what looks like black augurite.
Yeah.
They even expand its lore in its Dex entries to say that the mineral can just be found around volcanoes in the modern day. And they still don't give me black augurite. Pokemon. What's wrong with you?
What are you doing?
I completely understand them doing it to us, like, early on. I thought it would be really cute that the reason that Sandler didn't know how to evolve into Weirdeer is because they forgot how to use Psyshield Bash. Because that's how they lost their psychic powers. And once they learned the technique from another Weirdeer from another time, they could evolve into Weirdeer. No, forget that. We're not going to update. I mean, I do believe like eventually it's going to be updated, but I'm very frustrated that it's not now. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I think the next game that Meltan's in, it will evolve with a Thunderstone.
Yeah, I think you still technically can't evolve Ursaluna either. And that's in the...
No, you can't. No. Peeplock isn't there. Which is what? I'm very frustrated by the way they're handling the Hisuian evolutions. I am very frustrated by it. I think it's in poor taste and it makes no sense. it really doesn't. Like, I can understand early on, you know, people in VGC can complain. But like, what is going on, guys? Just like, what? It's one, Weirdeer is not competitively viable. Just let me do it.
Fair.
Just let me do it. Kleavor, if you're going to put in the decks and it's going to drop Scyther parts when I beat it in the game, I should be able to evolve Scyther into it in that game. Okay? That should just be what's happening. It needs to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if there is a, I wouldn't be surprised if there's like an event eventually where they're just like, oh, here's Black Augurite for you guys and a mystery gift. Here you go.
For you.
It's still very frustrating.
Yeah, with the peat block and with Weirdeer something and with, you know, get Sneasler.
Yeah, I don't see it for all of them because they're going to... Sneasler's fine. It evolves regularly. So does Basculin into Basculegion. Those all exist right now. I am very frustrated, though, that like they wouldn't let Hisuian Quillfish evolve originally and then they fixed it but decided they're still not going to fix anything else. Like, I don't know why they would do this. I understand, like, PLA is a reason to go get the game or whatever. I think Hisuian Braviary is a great reason to go get the game. Hisuian Voltorb is a great reason to go get the game. I don't know that Hisuian Gudra. The fact that I can't evolve Pokemon that have evolutions in a game where I can catch those Pokemon is incredibly frustrating. I don't know. It's just very frustrating from, like, what Pokemon has historically been.
Fair.
And I think that is... I don't think it's a positive change, if you know what I mean, right? Like, nobody's getting more enjoyment because you can't evolve Stantler in Scarlet and Violet. Maybe there's one person who's, like, really into fake Pokemon lore or something that's, like, really into that. But, like, that person is, I guarantee you, far in the minority.
Yeah.
That it can't happen. I'm just baffled at this point. I am absolutely baffled. I do believe, though, that after this game... we'll probably, like, the next time Teddy Ursa is in a Dex after Scarlet and Violet, we'll probably be able to get Ursaluna in that game.
Hopefully. That'd be cool.
I do believe that. They almost gave it to us now. I don't know if they're just doing it to meme on us to some extent, right?
Like the tree.
It's also like the last game that they, it's also like the first game they made, like, after a Legends type game. So maybe they didn't, like, because they made these around the same time the Legends games were being made, or at least started them.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you do have that argument, too.
Maybe they didn't finish development for that or something, right? To some extent, like, maybe they don't know how to handle those in that respect. Maybe it was a W that we got Kleavor at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still very frustrated. And I hope that they hear that criticism
I've only heard myself complain about this, by the way, other than like one other place on like Smogon forums when the DLC dropped. And I'm hoping that there's like a louder voice to be like, this is a dumb move, Pokemon. You know what I mean? Like, this, nobody's winning here. Like, nobody's winning. Nobody's winning that I can't evolve a Meltan that's in Sword and Shield right now. Like, nobody's winning that. Once Meltan's transferred to home, it's a Meltan forever. Like, nobody's winning that. Like, that, nobody wins. What's going on?
Can't even use Zebulite.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. It's fine. No, it's not. It's not fine. I mean, those are my thoughts. But overall, the DLC's been very fun.
Agreed.
It has really, really invigorated me. I think everybody should go play the DLC. I don't know who would listen to the show and not get the DLC if they own the game. But I definitely think you guys should go give it a shot. Yeah, I have nothing else. Do you guys have anything else that you wanted to cover or bring up? Or
not really. I think that does a pretty good job covering all my thoughts on it. So, yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, then, guys, we're going to end it here. We're going to kick it on over to your Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you all on the flip-flop.
Pokemon of the episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 1018, Archaladon, the alloy Pokemon.
It gathers static electricity from its surroundings. The beams it launches when down on all fours are tremendously powerful.
Archaladon is a dragon steel type, which is probably a decent type. And yeah, I mean, it is. It just is like
that. Oh, Lord, he thick.
Oh, Lord, he thick. Yeah, that's right. That's why Hisuian Gudra is so good. And Archaladon has a base stat total of 600, making it almost a pseudo-legendary, maybe. I don't know. I don't really care what
depends
it's classified as.
Depends on whose definitions you use.
It depends on who yells louder on Twitter today. And
exactly. Yeah. It's interesting. I've been looking into it, though, because there's a little controversy of that, because we immediately, on it, kind of in the West in general, we define pseudo-legends as, like, base stat total is 600 in the slow leveling
the slow,
rate group.
Yeah.
A lot of which are not true of Archaladon, whatever.
Yeah.
But in Japan, they define pseudo-legends that aren't mythical or anything like that, from what I could see on Twitter anyway. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Is just like, if you've got 600 base stat total.
Yeah, something similar to that, yeah.
So it's the club, it's like called Club 600, literally.
Club.
So
yeah.
As long as you have the base stat, you're in the group, and you're not, you know, you're not as legendary, you're not mythical, legendary. So not like, you can't be Heatran, you can't be Lando,
so
T, you can't be Mew.
We're over here like, no, because see, the pseudo-legends are dragons, or have 600 stat total, and their attack's the highest stat. Oh no, High Dragon. There are three
stages. It's such a weird... Oh no. It's so, because one, this is just like a fan term in general anyway.
Yeah.
Not even like a Pokemon term.
Rules.
Oh no. It's like arguing like what to call a shiny Pokemon, because they weren't they weren't officially called shiny Pokemon.
It's first partner Pokemon, Thatch. It's not starter.
Yeah, exactly. It's such like a dumb it's such a dumb thing to be yelling about on Twitter, I feel like.
Yeah.
You mean Archaladon good? Okay, I play Archaladon. And that's the extent that Thatch cares.
I just don't like how it looks like it has a terrible case of scoliosis when it's standing.
It looks like a great staple remover.
Yeah. It's just so uncomfortable to look at.
It's just such a... My building evolves into a bridge. That's what I see.
A different type of building.
It's a bridge. It's very confusing. Yeah.
But it fits in Unova, which that makes sense to me. Like, it fits really well with where it's supposed to be. So I'm like,
yes.
I'm
I hope Archaladon evolves into...
Archaladon evolves?
Like, the Eiffel Tower.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, in Generation 20 when we have, like, serious power creep. I'm actually really impressed it's taken us this long to see, like, true power creep in Pokemon, by the way.
No.
Based on OU.
Duraludon evolves into different buildings of notable places.
It's a Duraludon
has a remake.
It has a split evolution line, right?
Oh my god.
It's going to have like alloy antenna.
It's just as weird as Hydrapple.
French evolution.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like Hydrapple in different regions. Like, well, they have, you know, certain apples and whatever.
Hydrapple feels weird to me. It's going to take me a while to get used to that. I'm upset that Appleton doesn't evolve now.
I love Hydrapple. Oh,
I'm upset Appleton doesn't evolve now.
I think it's really funny how Hydrapple looks a lot like the Gigantamax form for...
Oh, they did that on purpose. They did that on purpose.
They did that on purpose. I love it. But this isn't about Hydrapple.
No, we're on Archaladon with its massive base stat total with a 90 HP, 105 attack, 130 defense, with the stamina ability, by the way.
Yep.
And body press access.
And body press. What? Why did we do that? Why did we make good Mudsdale? Then we've got, 125 special attack because that's low. 65 special defense. Okay, that's fine. So you hit it with like an aura sphere and it's dead.
Bad. 90 at 65 for special.
And then 85 attack, speed, which is actually fast. 85 is like a decent speed tier.
Yeah. For a bridge?
Yeah. It also gets Electro Shot as its move, which is weird seeing that it's not an electric type, but that's okay.
Bridges are known for their electricity, you see.
Meteor beam, but powered in the rain, which is good, because then you don't have to...
Bridges are known for their rain, you see.
For their electricity in the rain.
Bridges are known for being a dragon, you see.
God. That is our challenge. It's not even like an arched bridge, by the way. It's just very angled. It's a suspension bridge. It's not an arch bridge.
There's not a curve on that thing. It's all lines.
What's the Japanese name? The Japanese name can't be Archaladon, right? Like
Briduras.
Okay, so it's just bridge. It's just bridge, which makes way more sense than Archaladon. So we just messed up
with
the translation.
That's the Romanized version. If you read like the symbols, I forget what it's called. Katakana. Bridurasu.
Okay.
Bridge.
This is just like it. I like bridge. I like bridge as a. I like calling it bridge Adon, which is fine. I think Archaladon is a mistranslation of what it should be. Because I think that was just like a bad translation.
It seems, according to like what I'm looking at on Bulbapedia, it says Archaladon may be a combination of arch.
Yes.
Like a type of bridge, and Duraludon, and possibly Archosaur.
Maybe. I don't
Which could be Archosaur.
It's still bad.
It could be Archaladon. I don't know. But Briduras may be derived from bridge Duraludon and a suffix for Saurus. So Greek derived suffix for dinosaur names in Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It's weird.
It's weird. It's such a
dinosaur bridge. But also very futuristic. Yes.
All right.
It evolves from the London Shard.
Yeah. All right, everybody. I like that they did give two Pokemon who had Gigantamax forms, though. Like
an evolution. Proper. Yeah.
Yeah, an evolution proper.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate that from them. So kudos to you, Pokemon, for trying to make something right.
Prevo Gigantamax, baby.
Yeah. But we got a team. It's made by our own Shark. Who used it in the tournament last week. So, Archaladon's on this, holding a salt vest, because that's good.
That's really the only item you really want to be running on Archaladon, because 65 Spidef is...
Yeah, it's great. Bad. Stamina, a Fairy-type Terra. Is there anything that you want to say about this EV spread before I just say it's complicated?
It's kind of a... this is just a spread I found that was pretty good. The 96 speed in it... It lets it outrun, neutral fast Scizors and Pelippers, and then also outspeed Gliscor no speed investment.
I think it's actually good. That's a good counter.
96 speed in it.
that's a good speed against. Against Pelipper makes sense because if it sets the rain, you can just electro shot it and get points.
Yeah, exactly. Any of this mid fast, not the scarf ones, but not bulky Pelippers, you can just.
I'm here for it. Good. Yeah, and you've got a Flash Cannon, Dragon Pulse, Electro Shot, and Body Press on this bad boy, so this all makes sense. And then we've got Pelipper with a Damp Rock. It is a Pelipper that is especially defense and bulky. Drizzle, so you can set some rain up. It's got a Grass Terra type. It's bold because it's going to be. Defensive boy, surf, hurricane, U-turn, and roost. That seems pretty normal except for the surf, but I'll allow you to take it because it's just more consistent than hydro pump.
Exactly. It's really that was really more of it, just kind of bulky, be able to pivot, set the rain, kind of do some damage.
It's not meant to do things. If it does something, it does it. It's a bonus.
I did have to Terra grass this because I was facing some Rill of Booms, so it was like kind of my. I didn't have a good Terra at that moment in time. I was like, well, I guess I need to do this so I don't automatically lose.
Perfect. Well, somebody should take two more of these bad boys.
I can take the next ones, because let's keep the rain theme going. We've got Barrascuda holding a choice band, because that's really good on it. The ability is, of course, Swift Swim with Terra-type water. Attacks are, EVs rather, are simple. Max attack, max speed with adamant nature, and a very simple moveset of Liquidation, Flip Turn, Close Combat, and Aqua Jet. Strong, yeah. Fast, hit hard, fish boy.
Yep, and at least if the rain goes away, it's still one of the better rain sweepers instead of Kingdra on this team. So without the rain, Barrascuda still is fine.
Mm-hmm. So, it's really fast, even outside of rain.
Yeah, I did end up having times where it's like, I think I probably should have shifted to Jolly just because a couple of the matchups was like, oh, this thing, it just outsped it without rain. It's like, well, shoot.
And your meta of five teams.
A meta of four other teams, yeah.
Yeah.
The Meowscarada was very popular. So, yeah, I did have issues. So. But, yeah.
Yep, but speaking of the word fast, we've got Deoxys Speed Form holding a Focus Sash. The ability is, as always, Pressure. Terra-type is Ghost, probably to block Extreme Speeds or something, I'm guessing, or just Rapid
Extreme Speed, Mach Punch, yeah.
And it's got EVs of 176 attack, 80 special attack, 252 speed with a naive nature, just mixed attacker in general. It's got Psycho Boost, Superpower, Taunt, and Stealth Rock. I'm assuming your lead entry hazard setter and then just hit things until you're down kind of a thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, generally. I occasionally will save it if it still has its sash preserved and I think I could keep it that way, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, it just hit hard, revenge, and, you know, I can Psycho Boost one thing and Superpower the next thing, you know? It's kind of nice that I can hit both sides, so. It was very a fun mon to use for sure. And Taunt did come up a couple times, which was nice. So,
yeah,
it's like, nope, you can't defog. No, I know you're gonna defog. Don't do it.
No, you Glamora. No, no, no.
Exactly.
No, no, no. Oh yep. Man.
And so the last two Pokemon I have, Great Tusk, because it's still one of the better Pokemon in OU right now, and it helped just kind of good glue on this team. Mm-hmm. It's holding a booster energy, max HP, max speed. So it does boost attack with the booster energy. It's jolly nature just to kind of be fast. Headlong rush, close combat, ice spinner, and bulk up. So just kind of a bulky attacker. Terra type ice just to push the ice damage through on certain Pokemon.
Fair enough.
That makes sense.
Yep. And then Metagross, which this is a new EV spread. I would like to try on it because during the tournament, I ran max attack, max speed. And every time I would bring in Metagross to try to set up, it just got bopped. I think I need a bulkier one, not the max attack one, because I was weakness policy, with clear body, Terra type ground to help boost some earthquakes through. But it was Meteor Mash, Earthquake, Thunder Punch, Agility. So I would just like click Agility, hope to get hit by a super effective move, like, you know, fire attack in the rain. But generally, even just the water boosted attacks just bopped him. So yeah, I put a little bit of a bulkier spread on it now. We'll see if that's enough. I don't know. It's got like 80 attack or 80 HP, 36 Bedef. 140 speed, so that way at least Agility will make it outspeed Dragapults, so, and then still max attack. I may need even less, but we'll find out. I'll have to play around with this thing.
Yeah. All right, well, if you want to try this team, it'll be on the Discord server for singles and OU. Of course, yeah, you can check that out. We are going to kick it on over then, guys, to our mailbag.
It's mail time! Time for the mailbag. Send in your emails.
Welcome to our mailbag. Our mailbag this week is the part of the show where you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. And a lot of you did. You sent us emails at telling us about your experiences with the Indigo Disc. We will once again be asking for your emails about the Indigo Disc.
So please do that as well this week. But as always, this segment is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Green hooves.
And this is the first one of the year, so you'll be the only person in the Green Tauros chat.
Yeah.
With me. And we can, I mean, the chat on the Discord has literally just evolved to us saying hooves. When somebody gets the badge.
Hooves.
Nice.
We just type hooves.
That's literally, yeah, nope, it's just a bunch of hooves.
That is the use of that chat. That is the use of that chat. It should be used for other things. But all right. So our first email this week is going to be from Wave Tsunami. Howdy, howdy, Puckle Crowdy. Wave Tsunami here. I like that one.
That's a good one.
This DLC has come out at the perfect time for me since I just finished my first semester working on my marine biology / zoology degree. I have absolutely adored nearly every addition to this expansion, from the map, the double battles, and the returning Pokemon. I've been running around with my beloved shiny Excadrill named Ryobi. I get that. As I'm sure you can assume from the past comment, Lacey is my absolute favorite new character. Her mannerisms, design, and the fact that her ace is an Excadrill makes me want to become best friends with this fictional character. Also, we should all be celebrating the return of the best regional bird of all time and the greatest golfing companion to my main man, Toucannon. Toucannon came back, but not Patrat. Patrat didn't come back in Unova. As for my holidays, they've been going well. I've been enjoying the time I'm getting to spend with my family and away from school. I'm also attempting to break myself out of my lurker role in the Discord and become more active during this break. So if anyone wants to run some Unite with a one-trick Cramorant who hasn't played consistently since the launch, or run some barbecues in Scarlet and Violet, just hit me up. To stop for this email from becoming too long, I'll sign off for now. Hope y'all had a happy holidays, and I'll catch y'all on the next high tide. Wave Tsunami.
With how they sold their Cramorant game, they should maybe avoid marketing.
All right. Well, our next email is going to come to us from Mankey. And I believe Sharks got this one.
Happy holidays, Puckle Collective. I'm not finished with the storyline of the DLC, but I wanted to write in for one reason and one reason only. Pokemon did Lion King. Yes, in the Savannah biome, near the wall separating from the canyon biome, Pokemon put in Pride Rock, complete with the Pyroar at the foot, female Pyroar at the foot of it, looking up and all as a male Pyroar stands majestically at its peak, surveying his kingdom.
It's so good. I love it. Oh my gosh.
I do love that it's just a random Lion King reference.
Not all I need is a herd of Tauros, because that's the closest thing to wildebeest that I can think of.
Ooh, yikes.
In all seriousness, I'm happy with what they've done with the DLC so far. The double battles have been a fun way to play with new strategies I have not even thought about in a few years, and it's great to see some old favorites come back like Minior and Ranunculus. Never knew I'd missed either of them, but I did. And thank goodness for the return of so many regionals. It's annoying that breeding still requires them to hold an Everstone, or you get the original flavor, but hey, I'll take it. But come on, no Black Augurite, no Weirdeer. Not that hard, guys.
No, this triggers me, okay? It's so bad.
How did he already listen to the episode? What?
I was like, give it.
How did Pokemon break itself?
The biomes are a fine, good way to provide variety in a small space, but they don't have the same charm and character as Kitakami, and that is where the Teal'c Mask's advantages end. And although it took me a minute to come around on Archuladon's design, the combination of Electro Shot special attack boost with Stamina Body Press, and let's throw an Assault Vest on this big old bridge for good measure, and you have a really fun mon to play with. Not sure how well it'll do competitively, but I'm having fun. Stream of Consciousness complete. Thanks for bringing such good content every week and helping me enjoy these games more than I ever had before. Mankey.
Well, thank you for that, Mankey. We really appreciate it. Okay, our last one is going to come from LP Cuts.
You betcha, and I got that one. Hello, Puckle's fearless host and co-hosts. Firstly, I'd like to start out with my message I left on Discord. I haven't been active for a long time since my wife and I had our baby, but I appreciate beyond words can express the two that reached out to me without prompting, remembering the charity from last year and doing a drop of dimes, sending TCG cards and plushies for Mount Dora's Christmas, children home Christmas party. We made some Pokemon trainers Christmas a special one again. It shows how awesome you guys are. Out of request of the donors, I will not share their names as they did not do it to be recognized, but from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Very cool. My thoughts on the Indigo Disc are positive. I think it could be a standalone game with the Act 1 of Teal Mask. I loved the character development and intermingled relationships and dynamics of the NPCs with their backstories and famous relatives, but still remaining unique in their own right. Squirtle is back, along with the other starters, so I am elated having them back on my team. Furthermore, catching a Rowlet legitimately in a safari ball is satisfying. An owl archer in a camouflage ball is awesome. I personally can't wait for the epilogue. My wish is to have one more DLC with the addition of some other missing Pokemon, but that coming to fruition is far-fetched. Ha ha ha. I believe Johto is our next destination. Happy holidays to all. And again, thank you all for supporting the children. Sincerely, LP Cuts Zero.
Well, thank you for that. All right, Green Tauros badge time. I kind of want to give it to Mankey.
I think Mankey made you get on the soapbox again, so that I think is enough.
I think that's enough for me, okay? I'm going to make my own echo chamber here, okay?
Except...
one step at a time.
In the Green Taurus chat, it's going to be me and Mankey, and we're going to be yelling about how Weirdeer is not available in Scarlet and Violet. Or the evolution's not available. My bad. You can transfer it in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what, Mankey? You're in. You're in the club. Green Taurus badge is all yours. Ask for it, or we'll find you here in a minute, maybe, and we'll give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, on that note, guys, if you want to email us next week at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, let us know your final thoughts on the DLC. We've got a few more things to go through. I definitely want to speculate about Pokemon Day like a month in advance, so that's definitely going to happen soon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited for that episode, but we'll probably ask that next week in preparation. let us know your final thoughts on the Indigo Disc. I believe a lot of you guys have opinions. I definitely do. I love this DLC. Of course, if you want to hang out with us throughout the week, though, come to Puckle Discord the Discord at PuckleDiscord.com. You can, of course, follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Additionally, you can go check out our, what's it called? Oh my gosh. You can go check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/PucklePodcast. You can check out our streams, twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast. I'm back on Wednesdays. Because I did not get COVID this time, I hope. And I don't have to travel for a little while. I will have to travel in February, but that's neither here nor there. But I want to bring Wednesday streams back. I want to just have a good time hanging out with y'all and just have a good time doing that. I really want to do a Pokemon Violet, like, egg lock and just have everybody give me eggs.
Ooh, that'd be
okay.
Good.
Like, everybody should just give me eggs, and, like, when something faints, I just have to hatch a new egg. I don't care about routes or anything. I want everybody to give me eggs. You know what I mean? Everybody should give me an egg. Yeah. I think it'd be a blast. Everybody should give me an egg.
Yeah. I think it's just with the fact that you can also, you could just literally just put a Ditto and a couple Pokemon in, and you'll just randomly get an egg. It's kind of fun, too. It's just like, oh.
I think people...
You don't know what I'm going to... I don't even know what I'm going to give you, but I'll give you something.
Yeah, I just want people to just throw things at me. Now that especially like the number of Pokemon in Scarlet and Violet is pretty much complete, right? So I would love to see that. Please do that. Additionally, if you want to help support the show, you can go to trollandtoad.com and buy... what's the next set coming out? That's the Paul Dayan Fates set. That's coming out, right?
Yeah, Paul Dayan Fates, I think sometime in January. And then after that, it's whatever the thing is in March.
Yeah, Paul Dayan Fates is coming out. So you can go get some product over at Troll and Toad using code PucklePod5 at checkout. And you get 5% off.
It adds like 6 new cards. Yay.
Yay. But it adds like a bunch of bling cards for your deck and stuff. And it's a fun set to collect. A number of people who buy the cards don't play the game, Seth. I know this. And then additionally, you can also help support the show by going to Patreon, which we've newly revamped by now. We haven't done it as of recording, but we will have by release. There's new tiers of $2. You can join our chat on Discord. We have an exclusive channel for all of our patrons. And then we've also got additionally our at $5, you can enjoy things such as Puckle Chit Chat, which you guys heard last week with more co-hosts. One a month, and also an additional Patreon hangout episode. Even at the $5 tier, that also qualifies you to be eligible to be a member of that show. Though I do order it based on who hasn't been on the show, but also the rank of patron they are. At the $10 tier, you get access to our monthly Game Corner episodes. And at the, oh my gosh, what's the other one? At the there's a new $20 tier.
At the $20 tier, if you're there for 3 months, you will get a piece of merch. We're going to be doing Puckle t-shirts, which haven't been available for a lot of years after I went back and looked at it. And this is our official relaunch of the Puckle t-shirt. You can get that in March at the earliest. I believe if you join anywhere between January and March, you'll still be eligible for the t-shirt. After that, we're going to be doing playmats. So you guys can go ahead and get that bread, you know, that way. So, but that's a cool way to do it. The t-shirt's up first and then playmats next. And I think we're going to try for a hoodie. We're going to see what happens.
Ooh, hoodie will be fun.
Yeah. Q4, I haven't figured out yet. I did throw out the idea of a scented candle.
What the? That's
wacky, and I don't think anybody wants it. Except for me and Liger.
I think I know. I could give it to people. I know people will appreciate it.
I think it's very funny to have a Puckle-scented candle. I think that'd be very funny. But yeah, we do have a new merch tier. So please come and support it. It doesn't even support international patrons. I wanted to make sure before we did it that I could logistically handle that. So please, if you're interested in some Puckle merch, this is the only way to get it so far. We may relaunch the Puckle store, but there's no guarantee that you'll get like the Patreon exclusiveness to it. So with that said, that's everything I've said. Yeah. I have been Trainer Thatch.
I have been Seth Vilo.
And I've been Shark Finnegan.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.